Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Do you know that Lake Red Rock is filling up with silt? That Iowa's best cropland is flowing downstream? A local group is working to educate the public that there is a solution that works for all. Let's go in depth with Will Prather, Ron Halsey, and Mark Thompson with the Red Rock Lake Association. Well, the Red Rock Lake Association is still working hard to inform the public about water quality issues, erosion, Lake Red Rock, the silt that's coming in, to try to teach people about erosion in general in Iowa.
That's true. In fact, we have a committee of four people now that are working rather diligently to get the word out that this it does affect Lake Red Rock, but it also it's an issue that's bigger than just Lake Red Rock. It's a statewide and worldwide issue. If we're going to continue to raise food and feed the world, we've got to keep our soil on the farm.
Well, and I guess you first taught me, I think it was you and Ron Halsey a few years ago that first taught me about this, that Lake Red Rock is silting up. And the very best place we can see that is, for me anyway, where I can see it, is over White Breast Bridge going over that end of Lake Red Rock. And that silt is just really coming in, isn't it?
Yes, it is. White Breast is a major contributor to the silt in Lake Red Rock, probably the major contributor to the lake. Although we have a tremendous amount of land that drains into Lake Red Rock, but that particular stream is a culprit.
And it seems impossible, but is it possible that some year in the not too distant future that Lake Red Rock could be filled with silt?
I would like to take it from the vantage point of a recreational kayaker. I've been kayaking and taking wildlife photography for the last 15 years. When I take a look back at the pictures that I took originally to the area that we have now, there's a lot more land mass that is visible. If we take some examples, I can show many, many examples, but as I'm kayaking down the Des Moines River, I can tell you areas where you have lost over 250 foot of shoreline. This has now become sandy beaches. The trees that lined that bank, they've been undercut by high floods. You've lost a lot of trees. Last year when we had the flood in the spring, I have seen pictures on the news of cropland that comes right to the edge of the river. I got to witness that myself. And naturally, as that water level comes up higher, all that cropland becomes a part of the lake. With the cropland, naturally, with all the soil and the nutrients, is also the fertilizer. That all ends up merging in with the rest of the water that eventually ends up down in Louisiana. In Louisiana, they have what they call a dead zone. There is nothing that grows there, whether it be plant or animal. And we just want to be able to tell the people that the problem that we have here is one that we need to be proactive about. The future for this just means that we'll have more and more land mass. We'll have areas similar to what the right White Breast watershed is showing us now. And we would like to preserve the lake as far as longevity. The lake was put in 1969. This is 2014. You have probably in excess of 42% sedimentation. And there's a tremendous amount of resources that we are losing. This needs to be addressed.
more in depth after this. I continued my conversation about siltation with Will Prather, Ron Halsey, and Mark Thompson with the Red Rock Lake Association.
Well, and Mark, do you think that the general public knows this, knows that this is happening?
I'd say unless you are a recreational user or maybe drive over the Highway 14 bridge occasionally, you don't really see the amount of silt that is accumulated in the lake or the erosion in the rivers and streams that flow into the lake. So that's a, what we want to do is bring that attention to people in Marion County and Iowa that there is a problem, and we pretty well know what the causes are, and we want to educate people so they start managing their land better, be better stewards of the land.
Okay, and by better stewards, I know you have some proposed solutions for that, Will?
Well, yes, our land has to be protected by conservation practices. And there are many of those, and we've been working on them since the 1940s. Terraces are certainly a positive thing. Grassed waterways, the ponds and so forth that we've been doing. And they're very successful. However, they're also very expensive. Our belief is that no-till farming, which is not expensive, is the answer. And that it's, number one, it's quick. If we change to no-till farming, it would have an effect within a year or two. It would not cost the farmer a lot of money, and it has been proven to be, as far as bottom line is concerned, since they don't have to spend so much money on machinery and fuel and so forth each year, that the bottom line is equal to, or in some cases better than if they till it. So we think we can have it both ways. We can protect our land and still have an income that's very similar to what we have right now.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about siltation with Will Prather, Ron Halsey, and Mark Thompson with the Red Rock Lake Association.
Well, and Will, how long have you been working on this?
Six years.
When you talk to me, it just always seems to make so much sense to no-till, but if it does make so much sense, why aren't all farmers doing it?
Well, there are probably, you know, nothing's black or white. It's been nice if it were. But there are, number one, I was born and raised on a farm, been involved in farm management and so forth since the middle 50s. Live on a farm. Farmers in general don't like to change the way they've been doing things. They have a habit of doing things and they don't want to change. That's number one. Number two, there's something about seeing that tilled soil in the spring. It does heat up more rapidly, in many cases the plants may germinate quicker on a black piece of dirt than a no-till piece of dirt. A lot of it's tradition. A lot of it's tradition that's hard to change. Those farmers who have tried the no-till and stayed with it, almost all of them are pretty satisfied with that. But to getting them to say, now, let me, one other thing I want to say. There are situations where no-till has its problems. And one is, if you have a confinement hog set up and you have to put your manure, knife your manure into the ground, you till the soil. And there's not much, I guess, that we can do to completely eliminate that in cases where there's hog confinements. There are those farmers, not very many, who are organic farmers. Organic farmers don't use any chemicals, and so their only choice is to cultivate and to till. There's certain advantages in organic farming, but no-till doesn't work for them. So I guess probably 97% of the farmers can no-till, but there will be a few where it'll be difficult.
And so are you guys working in the Red Rock Lake Association? Are you working with other organizations to try to raise public awareness with this?
Well, right now we're working with the Iowa Environmental Council. That's out of Des Moines. They represent 60-some environmental groups in the state, most of them very popular. We've worked a little bit with Des Moines Water Works as far as nitrate problems in drinking water. And we even met with the Farm Bureau here this last week and had a real good discussion, understand each other's positions.
Okay, so that discussion with the Farm Bureau continues about this?
Yes.
Hopefully.
We want to work together on this with them and all the other groups and come up with solutions that can decrease the amount of silt and increase water quality in the state.
So are you optimistic, Ron? You think that something can be done to improve water quality that is, you know, that involves saving Lake Red Rock and other lakes throughout the country and then improving our water quality and improving conditions all the way down into the Gulf?
Well, I'm very optimistic. Otherwise, myself, along with Will and Mark, we would not be involved in this project. With that said, naturally, we're realistic enough to know that if you have the problem today, it'll go away tomorrow because you come up with a solution. This is a solution that requires a lot of players, and everybody's got to be on the same page, and they want the final product to be that the soil will stay on their land. As Mark has said, the stewards of the land, the way they inherited the land is exactly what they want to be able to move to the next generation, if not better. And to be able to have the soil laws as what we are incurring as far as sedimentation deposits in Lake Red Rock, we need to be able to stop that so that it does not accumulate. Mark had mentioned about when you drive across Lake Red Rock, the bridge, the mile-long bridge, all you can see out there is water. And so when we're talking to these people, they can't understand how we really do have a problem. Well, the problem is underneath the water. We need to address that. Otherwise, you'll have a wetland that will be very similar to what you have at Whitebreast. And consequently, for the future, our point is that we want to make an awareness to the people. We would like everybody to be able to work together for a common cause so that in the future there will be more lake availability for people, that we can save the lake instead of end up having a wetland area where basically we'll see a lot of ducks, but there'll be very few people on there with boats.
In 1842, when we purchased much of the land in Iowa from the Sac and Fox Indians, there was well over twice as much topsoil here as there is today. Agriculture is extremely important to the state of Iowa, and if we're to continue with our agriculture, we cannot lose any more of our topsoil. We have to put that priority ahead of every year's profits. Money, We certainly understand farmers have to make money, but we have to have some goals other than making this year's profits if I was to continue to be the breadbasket of the world.
Thanks to Will Prather, Ron Halsey, and Mark Thompson for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.